We're going to continue our series of Hakdamos to interesting and important Svarim. It's one of my favorite series. We haven't done one in a while. There's one particular author that I've wanted to do a Hakdama of his for a very long time, because I find him to be extraordinarily fascinating and an extraordinarily important person in history. Like, there are certain people that their historical importance is not necessarily recognized while they are alive, and others, very few, who even while they're alive, you know that you are witnessing someone who is going, who's making a tremendous difference in Jewish history. And Rav Ovadia Yosef is certainly one such personality, particularly for the Sephardic world. What he's done and what he continues to do is just have, for whatever your opinion is on politically and Torah-wise in terms of his approach to halacha and anything else, there's no doubt as to his incredible impact that he's having and had on Klal Yisrael and the general Jewish scene, particularly in Eretz Yisrael. So I wanted to do one of Rav Ovadia's Hakdamos. The problem with doing Rav Ovadia's Hakdamos is that there's so many of them. We could do a whole year on a series of just Rav Ovadia's Hakdamos for each volume of the 10 volumes of Yabia Omer, and the 6 volumes of Yichav Das, and the 2 volumes of Chazon Ovadia, and the 3 volumes of Taras Habayis, and for each volume he writes a Hakdama. So, and the Yabia Omer Hakdamos are long, nice, you know, full hakdamos. So it is a little bit difficult to choose which hakdama to do to really typify and to really give an example of who Rav Ovadia is. This year should be his chus for shlema for Rav Ovadia, who's been having health problems lately. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a little bit of background, biographical background, and a little bit of insight into his style, and then we're going to go through the hakdama to his Sefer Taharas Habayis. The reason I wanted to choose that Sefer is that I find that, first of all, it's one of the lesser known Sfarim. A lot of people aren't even aware that Rav Ovadia has a 3-volume Sefer on Hilchos Nida. I find the Hakdamos to that Sefer to be very indicative of his style in general, and his goals in writing Sfarim, and his where he goes with the halacha, what he's trying to accomplish with his particular writing of halacha. So in Taras Habayis, and he has a remarkable story in the Akdamah to the second chelik of Taras Habayis. So between all those things, I thought it was a good one to choose, and it's not as long as the Hakdamos to Yabia Omer, so I thought it's a little more manageable. But before we do that, just a little bit of biographical information. Rav Ovadia Yosef was born in Baghdad. He was born in 1920, so he is now Kanayin Hara, 93 years old. He moved to Eretz Yisrael, to Palestine, when he was 4 years old. So his childhood years were certainly in Eretz Yisrael. He learned in Yeshivat Parat Yosef under Rav Ezra Atiyah, and he was very clearly omid legadlus at a young age, meaning a mind like that does not come along all that frequently. It's a different kind of genius, meaning it's not the kind of genius that we would associate with Rabbi Kiva Eger, let's say, or the Avni Nezer or Moshe Feinstein. It's just a sponge-like genius, where there was the ability to recall enormous amounts of information and organize tremendous amounts of information, probably in terms of how much Torah he's learned. In terms of quantity, there's never been anyone in human history that has learned more Torah than him, because there's so many more Svarim being published every day, and he's memorizing all of them. So just in terms of just the quantity of Torah, probably no one in human history has had that kind of otzar in his brain, that kind of otzar Svarim in his brain, like Rav Ovadia has. There was a piece on Israeli television a few years ago that was going around. You can find it on YouTube probably, where they went through Rav Ovadia's apartment and they interviewed his children, and they did a nice piece on Rav Ovadia and his with emphasis on his Torah rather than emphasis on his politics, which was a nice change for Israeli television. And the children said that one of the stories that he always loves to tell is that when he was a young boy, his father needed him to help work in the store that he used to run, and Rav Ezra Atiyah, the Rosh Yeshiva, where he was learning, went to Rav Avadya's father and said, "Listen, your son is special. He's different. He's going to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. He's going to be a Posek Hadar. He needs to be learning. He needs to be in yeshiva." Father said, "But I need someone to help me in the store. You know, here we're having trouble making ends meet. I need someone to help me out here." So it was no use. The Rashiva tried to convince the father. It didn't work. It wasn't helping out. Next morning, when the father comes into the store, he finds Rav Atiya standing there wearing a work apron. And he said, "Well, Rashiva, what are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, you said that you need someone to help in the store. I think your son Ovadia's time is more useful than my time in the Beis Medrash." And the father got the point. That's where he belonged. So Ravadia got smicha when he was a young man, when he was 20 years old. As a young person, he was not afraid to issue piskei halacha that were normally take very broad shoulders, meaning already in his 20s and 30s he was writing up tshuvas that were, as a young teenager, he was already writing svarim. He was always into writing. He always thought that it was very critical to just write as much as he can. He used to write a lot of poetry, but then... Because he was just very good at it. He was very good at writing poetry with Sukkim of Tanakh, and sometimes you'll find in Haskamos that he writes for other people's Sfarim, he writes like these long poems that are like filled with Ma'amari Chazal and things from Tanakh, but he tried to move away from that as he got older. He thought it would be a bad example to set because other people don't have such an easy time and they'd spend too much time writing poetry if they were trying to imitate his style. So he went away from that a little bit. He then, in 1947, he was invited to Cairo, to Egypt, to serve as a rabbi there. He took over the Beis Din in Cairo, spent a couple of years there, got into a few fights with some people, so he had to, after a couple of years, he made it back to Eretz Yisrael. Didn't necessarily work out as well as he probably would have hoped. And when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he went to learn in Beis Medrash B'nai Tzion, which was run by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, was the Rosh Yeshiva there. And so he developed a relationship with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank at a very young age. He wrote a tshuva at the age of 30, where he was matir someone to do yibum rather than chalitza. Like, these are not simple matters. He was not afraid at a very young age to get involved in these types of things. He became chief rabbi, the chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel, in 1973. So when he was in his early 50s, he was the chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel. Rav Gorin was the Ashkenazi chief rabbi. They didn't always see eye to eye, to say the least. But Rav Avadia continued, even though there's a term limit on the chief rabbi position, he continues to refer to himself as the Rishon Lezion because his family holds that he should have always been the Rishon Lezion. I mean, there's no reason that he should not have been the chief rabbi. At a later time, he got involved in politics and he started the Shas movement, where the goal was to l'hachzir haTorah liYoshna, to bring back the kavod of the Sephardic community, that they should have their own yeshivas, they should, because a lot of times the Ashkenazi yeshivas ad hayom don't even accept Sephardi students and aren't as welcoming as they should be, and he wanted to make sure that the Sephardic muscles can be flexed, considering how much of the population that they take up. But from a halach, I don't want to focus on the politics so much. Politics, you know, it's beside the point. It's not. I don't think that's going to be. How I would like to think of Rav Avadia Yosef. Certainly the way I think of Rav Avadia Yosef is more in terms of his halacha. His halachic approach is somewhat controversial within the Sephardic world. I mean, we're used to thinking of it, for those who know, that he's an encyclopedia. So when he writes a tshuva, he'll give you every single source on the topic, and especially in Yabiya Omer, when you read the tshuvas in Yabiya Omer, you'll have full paragraphs where he's just quoting v'chein kasav, v'chein kasav, v'chein kasav, names of svarim, sources on top of sources on top of sources, and it's overwhelming. So that we know about. Like, if you look at that compared to Rav Moshe, let's say, you open up a tshuva from Moshe. Rav Moshe quotes a handful of svarim. He quotes Shas, he quotes basic Rishonim, and he quotes Chassam Sofer, V'kiv Eiger. Nadvi Huda, like the basic tshuva svarim. And obviously Shulchan Aruch Shachtaz, you know, Prima Gadol. But he's not quoting like everything. That wasn't his style. His style was to learn the meat and potatoes and to analyze it and to figure out what the halach is. From that, Rav Vadia will get like a hekif of everything that was ever written on the topic, and then, you know, give an approach based on what seems to be the generally accepted. But he'll have like 500 sources that say one way and 498 that say the other way. So a lot of times people take offense to that because they think he's just counting sources. I don't personally think that that's what he's doing at all. I think he has an approach, and he'll tell you what everybody says, and he'll tell you which one he agrees with. And sometimes he'll say it in like the smallest words. He'll just say, like, he'll say someone says this, and Mechaim Kasa, 500 other people that say that, and someone else says this approach, Vav Dalid Pei Ches Ches. And that's it. That's all I'll say about it. What does that mean? V'divrei pi chacham chein. What he's telling you is, and this one's right. Meaning, that's his way of expressing which way is correct. But he wants to let you know that he's seen all the literature on the topic. So that's in terms of just his approach to the Sephardic approach versus the Ashkenazic approach to Pesach Halacha. So some people don't like the idea that he just quotes everything. But even within the Sephardic world, there is a he's somewhat controversial because. His stated purpose, many times he says this, is to get the Sephardic community to all follow Maran Beit Yosef. That everything Maran Beit Yosef says, we should follow Maran Beit Yosef, what it says in Shulchan Aruch. A lot of times there are minhagim that are against Maran Beit Yosef, where other Rishonim held otherwise, and they paskin against Maran Beit Yosef, and the Moroccan community in particular, and Rav Vadia wants to change all of those minhagim. He wants to get rid of it. Everyone should follow Maran Beit Yosef. All Sephardic Jews, at least in Israel, at the very least in Israel, should follow Maran Beit Yosef. That's his goal, and he's not shy about it. He says that many, many times. Now, he also is not afraid of a kula. Rav Vadia's one of his fundamental principles is Koch Tetera Adif. It's a fundamental principle in Pesach, but he's not afraid of a kula, and he has a lot of kulas that maybe others who don't have the shoulders that he has or the confidence that he has in Pesach would not necessarily subscribe to. But he also has a very yasher way of paskening. I mean, if you look at Yechavidas in particular, Yabia Omer is just overwhelming. It's like he's in page after page after page, sources. Yechavidas was from the radio show. He used to have a radio show in Erev Shabbos where people could call in and ask shailas. So we don't have radio hosts in America like Rav Vadia Yosef. You know, Bill from Manhattan, you're on the line, you know, with Rav Vadia Yosef. We don't really have that so much. So, but they had a radio show, so he would give just the basic approach. The Gemara says this, there are two approaches in Rishonim, here are a couple of Nafkaminas, and give an answer. You know, it was a very, very clear way of writing. And a lot of the things that he has in Yechavadas, which is from the radio show, he has in Yabi Omer also, much more Ba'arichus. But in Yechavadas, it's sort of like you really see the bare bones of his Derech HaPsak, because you're not distracted by all the Svarim, because he's not quoting all that many Svarim. So you get to see how he's really just going straight. And he writes this also, that a lot of times in yeshivas, people are made fun of if they study Shulchan Aruch, and if they just go through a Gemara, Lasuke Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa. And he says, you know, they used to make fun of the Chazon Ish when he was a Bachar, that he's never going to be a Lamdin, because he's sitting there studying the Gemara with the Rishonim and the Tor Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, and the Chazon Ish became the Chazon Ish, and everybody else became not the Chazon Ish. So, you know, he very strongly believes that one should study a Gemara to try to be Lasukei Shmaitza Liba Dilchaza, which is certainly something that I can relate to. You know, Mori Verabi, whenever he's asked about Derech HaLimud, he always says the Derech HaLimud should be to try to learn a Gemara Lasukei Shmaitza Liba Dilchaza. That's always the Ikar Limud. That's the way a person is supposed to learn. Now, Rav Vadia, obviously, in terms of Sinai versus Oker Harim, you know, he obviously holds Sinai Adif, or at least for him personally, he's a Sinai. He has this incredible hekif of knowledge. But one could very Rav Silver, you know, used to point out to us that it's not necessarily if Sinai is adiv, it means everybody has to be a Sinai, and if Ochr Harim is adiv, it means everybody has to be an Ochr Harim, has to be super analytical. Meaning, if Rav Soloveitchik tried to paskin like Rav Avadia, you know, tried to use that style, that wouldn't have been the right thing for him to do. With a mind as deep and penetrating as Rav Soloveitchik's, and the way that he worked in the as a Lamdan, it would have been trying to fit a square peg into a round hole if he tried to do Rav Avadia style. And if Rav Avadia tried to do like Rav Soloveitchik, if he tried to analyze like Rav Soloveitchik, that wouldn't be the right thing either. With a mind that just absorbs everything like that, and is that his kochos are not in that area. So there is a concept that Rabbi and Rav Yosef each did what was right for them in the Gemara. When we argue with Sinai Adiv or Ochr Harim Adiv, so just because Rav Avadia is a Sinai, it doesn't mean necessarily that everybody's supposed to be a Sinai. But that's very clearly his style. It's also unique about him in terms of as a Sephardic posek, is that many Sephardic poskim are very into minhagim that are based on the Zohar and the Arizal and Kabbalah. Rav Avadia is not so into Kabbalah. He's Ein Li'Esek B'Nistaros, he'll say, even though obviously he'll quote Zohar liberally and he knows it by heart also, but he's not so into paskening based on Kabbalah. And again, the reason that all of this is so controversial, that he wants to do everything like Maran Beit Yosef, and that he's not so into passing like the Kabbalah, is that the great Sephardic posek after Maran Beit Yosef that a lot of Sephardim followed was the Ben Ish Chai, and Rav Avadia would do a lot of things against the Ben Ish Chai. Even though he would paskin many many things against the Ben Ish Chai, even though he was named after him, he would say a lot of different things against the Ben Ish Chai. He has his political views in terms of where he fits on the right to left spectrum. You know, he's not easy to categorize. For instance, his views on Zionism are not quite that easy to cut. Like, he took offense when they said to him, you're not a real Zionist. So, what do you mean I'm not a real Zionist? I served as the chief rabbi of the land of Israel. What do you want me? I believe everyone should make aliyah. I believe that people should live in the land. Now, technically, and he holds that the milchamos that Medina Israel fights are milchamos mitzvah. Yet he holds, ironically, that yeshiva bachram should stay in yeshiva. He holds that's their role in the milchama. Their role in the milchama is to be in the batei medrash. So he holds that very strongly as well. So it is a very interesting dynamic. How he says you're allowed to say halal in yom ha'atzmaut, but just not with a bracha. Because it wasn't a great miracle. It was a great miracle, the establishment of the state of Israel, but it shouldn't be said with a bracha because it's not something that was for all of Klal Yisrael. It was only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Now he says, if you want to say halal without a bracha after davening, so good, wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. So he has he's not anti. He has a sort of a nuanced view on these types of things. He has many many famous piskei halacha. He has a pesach halacha. He thinks that it's permissible to give away land for peace. In the Oslo Accords, he originally held that way. He went back and forth on that a little bit. He allowed for the heter mechira, which was a Sephardic tradition. He recognizes brain death as death for legal purposes, which is certainly a fairly controversial discussion in the poskim. A lot of very, very interesting piskei halacha that he has. He holds that women should not wear a shetel as a form of head covering. They should wear some sort of scarf around their heads or something like that, but they should not wear a shetel. Many Ashkenazi Jews obviously do wear a shetel as a proper head covering. A lot of different interesting piskei halacha that Rav Avadia has. He's also not shy about saying that he thinks he knows the cause for various tragedies and various things that happen to Klal Yisrael. Like, he'll often say it's because of this Avera or that Avera, and people need to do tshuva. So he'll often say things that will certainly get him in trouble in the media. But he's a fascinating, fascinating figure. So let's take a look at his by the way, his great-grandson learns in this yeshiva. His great-grandson is an 11th grader. Oh yeah, he's in Yichmer. He's a very nice boy. So let's see what Rav Avadia has to say in his Hakdama to Taras Habayis. So I gave you over here in the packets the Hakdama to both Chelek Aleph and Chelek Beis of Taras Habayis. I actually did not even look at the Hakdama to Chelek Gimel, or even if there is a real Hakdama to Chelek Gimel, but He starts off many of his haktamos by saying, people really like my svarim. I've been zocha, thank God, to publish X amount of volumes of Yabia Omer and Yechavada. At the time he wrote this, he said 6 volumes of Yabia Omer. Now he has 10 volumes of Yabia Omer and 6 volumes of Yechavadas and 2 volumes of Chazon Avadia, which is Tshuvos on the Moadim. He has Sefer Livya Schein on Hilcha Shabbos, Kol Sinai and Moadei Yisrael. He also has, his sons are very involved in putting out his Piskei Halacha in various forms. There's a sefer, I think it's called Halacha Brura, with Orach Chaim, I think Rav David Yosef puts that out, and Yalkut Yosef on like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch for everything, for all of Halacha. That his son Rav Yitzchak Yosef, who is now currently the chief Sephardic rabbi of the State of Israel, put out. They put out a lot of his Torah, and there's Chazon Ovadia, many, many volumes of all of his Torah and Piskei Halacha and the different Moadim, many, many volumes. I think we have it right up there. Yeah, Chazon Ovadia, I'm not sure which son puts that. Maybe Rav David Yosef puts that one out, I'm not sure. But so, in addition to all the Sfarim he writes, his sons write up a lot of his Piskei Halacha, collecting it from all over Yabia Omer and Yechavadas and all of his other Sfarim plus Piskei Halacha, he's given them Baal Peh. And he does make a lot of mention of the fact that there are a lot of Baalei Tshuva that need Hadracha, and that he views his Sfarim being easy to read and his ability to say Shiurim in a clear fashion to be something that's very helpful to Baalei Tshuva who don't have. And also the advantage of working with Baalei Tshuva is if you're trying to change Minhagim and you're trying to get everyone to conform, so it's much easier with Baalei Tshuva because they don't have any preconceived notions of how things should be or what they remember growing up or what their minhagim are. So he has a lot to work with within the world of Baalei Tshuva. He writes that this particular sefer, Taras HaBayis, he wrote more than 40 years before he ever published it, which is also a very interesting point. Not every time someone writes something does it automatically mean that they think it should be published right away, or that they think it should ever be published. He said he was holding on to this manuscript for 40 years as he was publishing Tshuva Sefer after Tshuva Sefer, and he didn't publish this, but then he saw that there was a need for it. So once there was a need for it, we don't just, when Gedolei Yisrael published books, it's not just they publish books because they can. There are a lot of people that can publish a book. If there's a need for a book, if there's a need for a Sefer, think about the Chavetz Chaim. All the Sfarim the Chavetz Chaim wrote. The one goal the Chavetz Chaim had was that he was going to write Sfarim that people needed. He was going to write Sfarim that were practical. A guide for soldiers in the Russian army, Chavetz Chaim wrote. Why would he write a guide for soldiers in the Russian army? Because that's what they needed. They didn't have a basic practical guide. A simple guide to Orach Chaim that everyone should be able to learn, to know what to do day in, day out, that takes into account all the earlier poskim. He wrote a Mishnah Berurah that he meant it to be easy enough for the Baal Batim to be able to read it. So Rav Avadia also, it was not so, he could have published much, much more at a much earlier stage. But he didn't. He had this sefer in his back pocket for 40 years. They just recently published a book by Rav Avigdor Miller. Have you seen this? The book about the Holocaust? It's something called In Defense of God in Light of the Holocaust. A very controversial book. So where did they, why didn't Rabbi Miller publish it? Well, they don't know, but they know they found it in his desk drawer. A manuscript that he had written, fully written book, that they found in his desk drawer after he died. So would he want to publish? Would he not want to publish? He wrote it, but would he, I don't know. It's hard to say that he, some would argue that it's still too soon. Even if, some would argue that the whole idea of a book to try to explain the Holocaust is very difficult, and others would argue that it's still too soon to start saying that it was because of Averroes and the Reform Movement and this and that. Very, very hard to say. But Rav Shechter once told us when we were at his house on Chanukah, he said, I don't know, I publish what I want to publish. There are many things I wrote that I would never want to publish. He said, if after I'm gone you find things that I wrote, I don't want you to just publish everything that I ever wrote. There are things that I wrote that are ridiculous, that that shouldn't be published. Others would argue that Allahu la yibal afilu sichas chulin shel talmid chacham tzrichin limud, that even the Gemara says that even when talmid chacham says sichas chulin, which Rav Shechter once said in shir means b'shem Rechaim Glashner, it means even a hava mina in a shir of talmid chacham is something that we can learn from, just the way they develop something, even if they don't hold this right at the end. But anyway, so Rav Avadia over here ultimately says that it came time to publish it. And one of the hesitations in publishing a book like this is that there are a lot of people that feel icky about speaking about Hilchos Nida publicly. That it's something that should be that it should be kept private, and you know, one-on-one chassan class privately, and shouldn't be done published in a broad forum. And he writes, "Kvarli manu lahovil marana Beit Yosef shabenu agadol Rabbi Yaakov beirav hayadorish behilchos balochos el barabim." He says that the Mari beirav used to darshan hilchos nida barabim. The Beit Yosef has no problem with darshan hilchos nida barabim, and Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos, Kinin upischei nida hein gufei halachos. That kinin, the halachos of bird, pairs of bird karbanos that fly in different directions and get mixed up with each other, and gufei and pischei nida are the gufei halachos. And Rashi says, what's pischei nida? The halachos of vestos. Vestos is when we try to calculate based on a woman's history when she's going to get her next period. It's mathematical calculations that based on a woman's track record when she's going to get her next period. That's gufei Torah. So he says that these things should not be kalos b'enecha. You have to pay attention. They're very chamur. So he quotes a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Metzora that shcharos ka'orev, that black like a raven, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak pasar krab b'parshiyusei shel Torah sheniros ki'ilu hein ku'uros u'shcharos lo omran b'rabin. The Medrash says that dafka, those parshios of the Torah that seem like dark and like inappropriate and things that you shouldn't be spoken about, those parshios in the Torah that you think are inappropriate, that's where he would dafka darshan those in the Torah, kigon hilchoziva unegaim unida v'yoledes, halachas of childbirth and of nida and of ziva and of tzaras, all these different things. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu harei hein Arevus Shali, that's the sweetness of Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he darshins shchoros milashon, those things that are dark and that are that we think are inappropriate, and ka'orev milashon arevus milashon, that it should be something that's sweet and pleasant to us. So that's what he says, that learning Hilchos Nida, we should not be hesitant about doing it publicly, about learning Hilchos Nida publicly and teaching it publicly. And he also writes, in particular, in Edut HaMizrach, in Sephardic communities, there was tremendous ignorance in the area of Hilchos Nida. He says that there were people that had no idea that there was something called a Hefzik Tara, that a woman has to check before she counts her 7 clean days. Women who had no idea that they had to count 7 clean days. Women who husbands were Yirei Shemayim, B'nei Torah, they just assumed their wives knew what they were doing. And the wives didn't know anything. They didn't know anything about Hilchos Nida. They didn't know about Vestos, about Prisha Samach Vestos. They didn't know about Chatzitza, about Tevila. Many of you probably don't know much about this either yet, but one day you will, Be'ez Hashem. So they didn't know anything. And he quotes the Sefer Taras Yisrael that writes that Asapra Shivron Levavi says, "Let me tell you my broken heart. Al Asher Kama V'Kama Nashim Shavoseinu Ba'alein Talmidei Chacham Gemurim Yireim Ushleimim, women who grew up in the homes of their fathers who are Talmidei Chacham, whose husbands are Talmidei Chacham, Kvar Yeshlem Banim Gedolim, and have adult children already. V'Lo Yadu Klal Shevzik Taras Tzarich Lios Alidei Achnasas Ha'ed Bifnim, and don't know that they need to stick a bedikah cloth inside of themselves for a hefsek tara, and they think it's just a kinuach ba'alma." I mean, these are the most basic things of Hilchos Nida. Women who think that the day they do their hefsek tara counts as the first day of Shiva Nikiyim, which it doesn't. Again, the most basic things of Hilchos Nida. Sometimes I'm astonished. I get shailas from women who married for years, and they'll say, and it's amazing what they don't know. Like a woman will say, "Well, I did a hefsek tara, and now I'm going to go to the mikvah 6 days later." What do you mean 6 days? You go to the mikvah 7 days later. I didn't know. My college teacher, whatever it was, there are people that just don't know anything about Hilchos Nida. And one woman that was married 5 years, and her husband called me with Shaila, and it became clear through the conversation, she didn't even know that there's such a thing called the Hefsek Tara that she had to do. And the most important bedikah that a woman has to do is called the Hefsek Tara. She had no idea. So he writes, "Oy lo znaim shekach shomos, woe unto ears that hear such things. that there's such widespread ignorance. V'kolze b'almeh lehen mechisorin yediya v'avoseinu b'alein lo yodum izaklal. The fathers, the husbands, know nothing about this. V'loshkicho alein lamdan, and never bothered teaching them. And he says, you know what happens? Kamar rabbanim nechvayim elakelim. There are rabbis that just hide from discussing these things. They don't want to talk about it publicly, and people don't know. So he says, and on the flip side, sometimes when you don't know, you end up being makel and you end up being super lenient and everything, and really violating Yisuri Kares. And sometimes you end up being machmir yoser midai, and that's not good either in Hilchos Nida. He says sometimes women are machmir namara lavan v'yaro, colors that they should not be machmir on, and they assume that they're tamei. And he says when they do that, mimatos es admus uma'akvos es ha-mashiach. What's he referring to? That they're being ma'akiv Mashiach coming? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that and Maseches Nida that and Maseches Chuvos that Ein Ben David Ba at Sheyichlu Kol Neshamos Shabaguf. The Mashiach only comes when all the neshamos are emptied out of a certain place in Shemayim, where all the neshamos are kept. Which means that by having more Jewish children, we're bringing Mashiach closer when we have more Jewish children. But if you keep on saying that, if you keep on being machmir and Hilchos Nida, so it's going to cause people to have smaller families. Smaller families means Mashiach comes later. And in addition to that, women are making a bracha on this tevila. If you're extra machmir, you think you're a nida when you're not a nida, and then you go to the mitzvah and you make a bracha, well, it's a bracha levatala. So you can't just be machmir in Hilchos Nida. It's not okay to just be machmir. That's not an option in Hilchos Nida. So he says that the Ben Ish Chai, and again, this is where it really touches on his Derech and Psak Halacha versus the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai writes that about these dinim, almost always to be machmir, and even to be machmir against Maran Beit Yosef. He says there are certain kulas Maran Beit Yosef has in Hilchos Nida. The Ben Ish Chai is more machmir, writes this on page Yod in the Akdama, and he says, and that's wrong, and that's why I have to set the record straight. And he says, and don't tell me that we should be machmir against Maran Beit Yosef, specifically in Hilchos Nida, because Hilchos Nida is arayos, it's erva, and you need to be machmir bedine erva more so than in other areas of halacha. He says, don't tell me that. That's not true. What's not true about it? So he says, let me share with you a letter I wrote to somebody, to Rabbi Eliyahu Chai Admari Zatzal, who is a member of the Rabbanut HaReshit in Be'er Sheva, and let me tell you what I wrote to him. I'll share with you a letter I wrote to him about whether we consider Nida to be Erva. Fascinating topic. When we learned Gittin last year, I don't think anyone here was in the yeshiva. When we learned Gittin Daf Beis last year, we discussed this topic. Rav Yosef Engel has a whole piece on this topic, whether Nida is the din of Erva, right? An Eishes Ish is Erva. A man, Rachman al Tzlan, sleeps with a sister, it's Erva, right? What about Nida? Is Nida a din of Erva? Is it a din of Arayos, or is it not a din of Arayos? So he says, and if something is Arayos, it plays by different rules. Ein davar shebe erva pachos mishnayim. Whereas by Isur v'heter, ein echad is neman bi isurim. So is it just regular Isur v'heter, or is it a davar shebe erva, is it Arayos? So he quotes from the Ma'arit al-Gazi in his Tshuva Simchas Yom Tov. This is where you have the small letters in the on the page. On page Yod, this is where he's quoting his own letter that he wrote. So he quotes from the Ma'arit al-Gazi in that letter that even when Maran is Mekel, when by an Isur Erva, we should be more Machmir. What's an Isur Erva? Gittin, Kiddushin, Yibum, Chalitza. We should follow all of the Chumras. And he quotes many, many other people, Kedarko B'Kodesh, that agree with Ma'arit al-Gazi. But he says anything that's not Erva, we should always follow Maran. We should follow the Kulas of Maran. So it becomes very critical to know, is this Erva or is this not Erva? Is Nida Erva or is Nida not Erva? So he says that on page Yud Aleph, in the paragraph, Ume'ata Navol Leva'er, Im Ha'isr Nida Avi B'chal Dover Sheba Erva. He says, so let me explain to you whether it is or isn't. He says it's really a Beferish Tosos Maseches Gittin. Tosos Gittin Daf Bezim Bez, Dibra Masla V'Dover Sheba Erva Kosvu. Tosos writes as follows in Maseches Gittin. V'im Tomer, Im Isa De'er Echa Nem Bisurin, Afilu is chazik isura v'lav biyado amay isrich v'safra l'aliatzma. If the halacha is that an eid echad is always believed for isra v'heter, you go home tonight and your mother cooked dinner, you don't need eidus that it's kosher. If she tells you that it's kosher, that's good enough. If she's willing to feed it to you as kosher, that's good enough. Why? Eid echad neman v'yisurin. A single eid is enough, and even a woman is a single eid for eid echad neman v'yisurin. Right? So Tosfos asks, so why do I need a special pasuk in the Torah to tell me v'safra la liatzma, that a woman is believed to count her nida days? Of course she's believed. Eid echad neman v'yisurin. So says Tosfos, v'yesh lomar, desalka daitach techashiv kamo davar shabierva. Because I might have thought that nida counts as a davar shabierva. And it's by davar shabierva, you need two eidim. So since I might have thought Nida counts as davar shabierva, therefore I have a safrala to tell me that you could believe her. So now the achronim debate. So what does Tosfos hold? Does Nida davar shabierva or not? There are two ways to read the answer of Tosfos. One way to read the answer of Tosfos is, I might have thought you need two eidim because it's davar shabierva. That's why I have a pasuk for safrala liatzma to tell me that it's not a davar shabierva. Or you could read it, no, that's why I need a pasuk for safrala to tell me that even though it is a davar shabierva, for this davar shabierva, because it's impossible to require two eidim, you only need one eid. So Rav Avadya very strongly comes down on the first side of that, the first possibility, that he believes very strongly, and he quotes from the Tshuvas Mil Tzedakah and the Yehuda, many others, that davar shabierva is, that nida is not davar shabierva, and that is the maskana of Tosfos, that nida is not davar shabierva. He also, in the footnote to that letter, has a raya from the Yerushalmi that nida is not a davar shabierva, but then he says, but wait a second, this might be against Maran Beit Yosef, because Maran Beit Yosef in Kuf Tzadi Hei in Yerudea, which is the siman in Shulchan Aruch that's all about Harchakos, you have the underlined copy, right? In your copies, you see the underlined page Yud Beis in the middle. So he quotes from Beit Yosef Yerudea, some Kuf Tzadi Hei, Kasav B'Tshubas Ramban, Asu Lebal L'mashesh Dofek Ishto Nida. A man is not allowed to take the blood pressure for his wife when she's in Nida, meaning to check her blood pressure. V'imacholi mesukan vein shamrof machin. What if she's dangerously ill and there's no other doctors? Mashma k'tsas midvarav deshari mishum b'kuach nefesh. Beit Yosef says, in the name of the Ramban, sounds that the Ramban is saying that it's mutter because of b'kuach nefesh. Ela sheyesh lomar dilatamei ozil desfir lishin negias nidei nasur el midrabanan. But maybe that's only Ramban l'shitaso, that Ramban holds that touching a nida is only in isur midrabanan. Right? One of the things in high school boys always want to shear on Shomer Negia. So what's the first source? The Aleph Beis of Shomer Negia is Machlokas Ramban and Rambam, whether touching a nida is nisur d'oraisa or nisur d'rabanan. The Ramban holds it's only nisur d'rabanan. The Rambam says it's an Isser da'oraisa. So says the Beit Yosef, why does the Ramban hold you're allowed to take blood pressure for your wife when she's nida if it's pikuach nefesh? Because he holds that it's only nisa d'rabanan to touch a nida. Avaladas ha-Rambam shenigiyah serva asura min ha-Torah. But according to the Rambam, that it's nisa da'oraisa, afal pish yesh bezeh pikuach nefesh efshar sha'asur. It might be that even if she's dangerously ill and she can die from it, you're not allowed to take her blood pressure. Whoa! Why? Because I'm Israel de Gilei Arayos. It's considered Gilei Arayos. It's only Gilei Arayos if it's Erva. So what do you see that Maran Beit Yosef holds that it's considered Erva? So it says Rav Avadya, I got a problem over here. Because I'm showing you that it's enough in the Tosfos and Gittin and Daf Beis. And that there's Yerushalmi that says Beferish. That it's not a Davar Shavi Erva, that Nida's just Isra Heter. And here you have Maran Beit Yosef, Muchach Midivrei Beit Yosef, that Nida is a Davar Shavi Erva. So he, in spite of that indication from the Beit Yosef, he nevertheless tries to show that the Beit Yosef elsewhere does not hold that it's Yaharik Val Yavar. So he tries to show that really we don't pass like that line in Beit Yosef, and he just says it Balashon Efshar, and that really it's an Isser, it's not Davar Shabiyarva. So his basis over here is to say that Nida is not Erva, and that's why we can be Mekel like Maran Beit Yosef against all the other Poskim. That's why he's trying to do it. That's what he's setting up over here. How could I be Mekel like Maran Beit Yosef against all the other Poskim? This is something so severe, it's Erva. So he says, no, Gittin, Kiddushin, Chalitza, Yibum, that's Erva. This is not Erva. This is Isavata, this is Nida. Yeah, you. Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. I had the Beit Yosef always passed like the Rambam. So how does the.
Almost always like the Rambam, right. Yeah. Not always.
Rav Avadya
Rav Avadya actually writes very interesting. One of Rav Avadya's sons put out the Tshuvas Pe'er Hador, the Rambam's Tshuvas, the new edition of the Rambam's Tshuvas. And Rav Avadya says in his Haskama to that volume that this book is a critical book, not only because it's the Rambam, obviously, but he says these are Tshuvas that Maran Beit Yosef never saw. And he says, if we can find things in these tshuvos that go against what Maran Beit Yosef says, then we'd paskin like these tshuvos of the Rambam, because we could assume that he would have changed his psak had he known that the Rambam would have said otherwise. Which is a fascinating insight. It's a fascinating approach. Meaning, one could have argued that, and some do argue that we don't go back like that and say, well, had Rav Yosef Kairo seen this. Either because we can't guess what Rav Yosef Kairo would have done had he seen it, and even if we could guess what he would have done, maybe Hashkacha had it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that Maran Beit Yosef shouldn't have access to the Rambam, so that he could write a Shulchan Aruch the way he did write it. And that or you could argue that it became accepted minhag already once Maran Beit Yosef paskins it. And that's the final say. Rav Avadya says, no, if we know that Maran would have said differently based on the tshuva of the Rambam, so you could follow that tshuva of the Rambam against Maran. Fascinating approach that he has. Yeah?
Don't some also think that those truths, such truths, are credible enough to believe as true? Like they're bad, like you weren't sure if they're even true.
I think Rav Avadya tries to show that. Yeah, I mean, his son published them, so I think he was trying to show that they were how strongly he believed in them. And then he says, and let's say it really is Davar Shebi'erva. Let's say Nida really is Arayos. It is Davar Shebi'erva. He says, still, maybe we can be makel by Nida. Why? He says there's a big difference between Git and Kiddush and that kind of Davar Shebi'erva versus Nida. Because what are the ramifications of violating Gilui Arayos in the case where, let's say, Gittin, a woman is not really divorced, you think she is, and you go and you marry her and have a child with her? What are the ramifications of that? The child is a mamzer. And what about the grandchild and the great-grandchild and the great-great-grandchild? Mamzer, mamzer, mamzer. Dore doros are destroyed by Davar Shebi'erva. He says, that's why we're machmir neged Maran Beit Yosef on a Davar Shebi'erva, because of the ramifications of dore doros being mamzerim. What if a man has a child with a woman who's a nida? Is it a mamzer?
No.
Child is considered to be somehow a little bit pogum. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva. A guy was dating a girl, and the girl was a balas tshuva, and the guy was concerned that maybe there's something. Clearly, her mother was a nida at the time of that this girl was conceived, because their family wasn't frum. So maybe he should be concerned about it. That maybe it's somehow going to have an effect on her character. And even though her character is so wonderful, maybe that's just because she's so good and strong-willed. But maybe her children's character is going to come out in the next generation or something like that. And Moshe said, "Forget about it. Don't worry about it. She's wonderful. Adrabah, if you see that she's so strong and she's so good, so probably her mother went to the beach before she was conceived, and when she went in the water, that counts." That was the mikvah, or whatever. So Rav Moshe gives the whole thing, but there's no mamzerus. So he says the whole reason you'd be machmir neged Maran Beit Yosef in Davar Shebi'erva is because of mamzerus. But there's no mamzerus over here. So he says there's nothing. And he says, I'll give you an example. What? Yeah, right. Rav Moshe. So he says v'chein ro'isi l'maran achida b'shal shuvs chaim sha'al. He says, let me give you an example of a machlokas in Hilchos Nida. There's a machlokas between Maran Beit Yosef and the Rama, b'din kesem she'efshar litlos bo lahakel. There's a din in when a woman finds a stain on her undergarments or on her clothing, right? I'm on page Yud Gimel now. When a woman finds a stain on her undergarments or on her clothing, that there's a din called Taliyah. That whole din of a stain that's found is called ksamim. A kesem is only nida midrabanan. If she finds a stain rather than actually a flow of blood that comes out of her, she just finds a stain somewhere randomly. So that's called a kesem. And there are certain leniencies that we have in ksamim. One of them is called a tlia. If there's some other place that this could have come from, she has a wound of some sort, she just had a gynecological procedure that involved a cut, she a yeast infection, anywhere else that this blood could have come from is called the tliya. So there's a question. Within the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim, do we rely on a tliya or do we not rely on a tliya? So he says, according to the Ramban, the Ramaz Machmir not to rely on Tlios in the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim, the Mechaber is Mekil. The Kosval Zeh Chida, and the Chida writes, Uludidon, B'nei Ara Kadisha, Naktinan Kedas Maran Shekibalnu Ara Osav. We paskin like Maran Beit Yosef, and even the Hakel. The Kan Das Maran the Hatir, Afilu B'tok Shol Shiyam L'Sir Shiva Nikiyim, Kol Sheish Litlos, Udelo Karamash HaHachmir B'zeh. So he says, you see that the Chida writes explicitly that we should follow Maran even lahakel in the case of Nida. So says Ravadia, Ata Haresa Ladas, Sha'aval Pi Shemarana Chida, Svirle Kedas Marit Al Gazi, Lahachmir Lechadchila Bedine Gittin, even though the same author, the Chida holds that you need to be Machmir against Maran Beit Yosef by Erva, by Arayos. Yet when it comes to this halacha Nuchas Nida, he was making like Maran Beit Yosef and was not machmir against Maran Beit Yosef. Why? Because Nida is different. You're not playing with mamzerus with Nida. You're not messing around with mamzerus issues, and therefore it's not as severe as other Dinei Arayos, even if you hold that it is a din in Dinei Arayos. So that's what he argues. There's also, Ravadia happens to have interesting discussions about the role of the Ramah in determining Sfarik Psak Halacha. What do you mean, roll the Ramah? The Achenu B'nai Ashkenaz Hayotzim B'yad Ramah, he always says. It's the B'nai Ashkenaz that follow the Ramah. But he has a discussion. Is the Ramah like any other rabbi, as far as Sfardim are concerned? Meaning there's Maran Beit Yosef. He's the man. He's the one that you always follow. And then, Maran Beit Yosef doesn't say anything on a topic, or, you know, you're not sure, he gives two deals. Is the Ramah the next level down? Like, he's going to be the Machria? Or do we say, he's like any other rabbi. He's like anyone. The Ramah's an opinion, and the Marshal is an opinion, and this one's an opinion. Everyone's just an opinion. Is there any chashivus to the Ramah from a Sephardic point of view? That's a fascinating discussion Ravadia has elsewhere. But he goes on over here to say that also, in the last few words over here on page Yud Gimel, Vehein emes shematzanu l'maran achida b'shiurei bracha shekas b'shem radvaz. The chida quotes from the radvaz shetzarech l'sakein ha-mikval al pidas kol ha-poskim l'chadchila mishum she'isr kareis hu. So he says, well, we do find by mikvah that there is an approach in poskim, and we still ad hayom try to be makpid about this, that a mikvah should be the most kosher mikvah possible, that a mikvah should fit every single day. You want to make sure that it would have alachumras, to try to make sure that the mikvah, that everyone should be satisfied with that mikvah. Why? Because you're playing around with yisurei krisus by nida. So says Ravadia, so maybe that tells us that we should be machmir nilchaz nida, even against Maran. But he says, no, mikal malkam yesh l'chalik, shezel davka b'mikvah, dekaviyah v'kaim l'tvilas harbe, shal nashim rabbos dvar yom b'yomo. He says, no, that's about mikvah, where every woman in the community is going to be using it and relying on it day in and day out. But in a particular case where you have a specific psak halacha, you know, you're not going to say that you have to always be machmir because it's hilchas nida. It's not that it's that the mikvah is hilchas nida and that's why we're machmir. It's because every woman uses it and relies on it day after day that she's with her husband, she's relying on that mikvah, and she's a chazik yisura, she has a cheskas iser before she goes to the mikvah. That's why we're so machmir by mikvah. It doesn't mean that in general in hilchas nida we're always going to be machmir. Then at the end of that, so that's his Hakdama Rishona. That's Hakdama Techelik Aleph, a longer Hakdama. And he writes at the end that he's dedicating the Sefer to his father, Rabbi Yaakov, who apparently passed away while he was preparing this Sefer for publication. And he says, Lilinishmas, his mother as well. And as many authors do in their Hakdamos, he explains the name of the book. It doesn't require much explanation. Taharas Habayis about Hilchas Nida makes a lot of sense. He says, because after all, it's Le Taharas Benos Yisrael and Beso Zu Ishto. So Taharas Habayis is the Tara of one's wife, Beso Zu Ishto. And he points out that he has a section on the bottom called Mishmeres HaTara, on the bottom of each page, where he has longer discussions about many of the topics. And he always, in every single one of his Sfarim, shows how the title to the Sefer somehow is Bigamatria, his name. Not always directly, exactly Gematria. So he says, Mishmeres HaTara, which is the section where he has the longer discussions, is Ola B'Gematria, the following words. Me'ez ha-mechaber v'ha-ma'asef ovadi Yosef. Samach Tes. What is Samach Tes stand for? I don't know. So he says that's what the gematria. And he dedicates also the book to his wife, and he thanks all of his sons for all of their help in being Masadar, all of his Svarim, and all the good things that he does. Okay, that is the first Hakdama. The next Hakdama is a little bit shorter. I do want to try to do it because I think it's fascinating also. The next Hakdama, Rav Avadia writes as follows, that he says that when he was preparing the second volume for publication, apparently there was some time between the first volume and the second volume. The first volume, he said, was in Tafshin Memches. He first published it, and the second volume was Tafshin Nun. So it was a couple of years. It took him a couple of years. And remember, he said that he had written this 40 years earlier. So for him to take a couple of years with all the help that he has with his children to take a couple of years to publish it, he thought was too long. And he tries to explain why it took so long. He said, because I had to get involved in politics. He said, Sephardim need me in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, I started a political party called Shas, and for Shomrei Torah Sephardim, and Bipilos, we've been doing a lot of good work to set up Sephardic educational institutions. And the language that he uses on page Yudalid, about five lines in, Ulahagbir chayalim l'Torah, bepsichas Talmud de Torah l'alfa yiladim. Who's he referring to when he says chayalim? Notice, of all the words to describe Sephardic Torah students who are learning Torah all day, he describes them as chayalim. Why do you think he uses chayalim? We have a Milchemes Mitzvah we have to fight, but the way I hold that the Bnei Torah should fight the Milchemes Mitzvah is not by going to the front lines. He says they should be learning. So he calls them Chayalim. The Chayalim that I need to be learning Torah in the yeshivos, and Avreichim, and setting up Kolulim, and people who are going to learn Torah properly, not like they do in the Ashkenazic yeshivos, where they just are Mefalpel, and Lasukei Shmaitza Libedei Hilchasa, to do it right, to learn Halacha the way you're supposed to. And then he says, I was very hesitant about this whole thing. I'm getting so involved in politics, and there's so much that's pulling me away from my learning and from my teaching. And what I really want to do is I want to write Sfarim. I think that's going to be my great legacy. It's not going to be in all this other stuff. So look at this. You have to see this inside. The bottom page, Yodalit. I tell people about this. They don't believe me that this exists. He writes, Eskara Yamim Mikadim. I didn't even underline this, but it's the bottom page, Yodalit. Eskara Yamim Mikadim. He says, I remember a long time ago, Im Levavi Yasich Havala B'machshav L'fnei L'mayit Pofa'os He said, I had a havamina that I should stop being so involved in politics and stop doing things in such a public way so that I could focus on preparing my various writings for publication. If I don't get to prepare my own Torah for publication, who's going to do it for me? Turns out there are a lot of people that are willing to do it for him. But he says, I have to, this is my job, I'm a Ben Torah first, I'm a Talmud Chacham first. V'arayoni al Mishkavi Saliku. And he says, and it used to bother me when I'd go to sleep at night, that I'm so involved in all this other stuff that takes me away from my learning. V'hinei b'chalomi b'layla hahu. And when I went to sleep that night, I had a dream. And he says, Re'isi yasagon Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zatzal mi Bavel. He said, I saw the Ben Ish Chai in a dream. Ben Ish Chai, the one that he argues on in Halacha all the time, but he has great respect for the Ben Ish Chai. Asher bo levakir bebesi, he came to visit in my house. Upanav mi'iros kizor achama, and his face shone like the sun. Nichnas l'cheder sifriya, and he came into the room where I keep all of my svarim, which, by the way, in Rav Avadia's house now is every room. The place is lined with svarim. They showed on the Israeli television, every room is floor-to-ceiling bookshelves lined with svarim. V'hisyashiv li'ad ha'shulchan, and he sat down next to the table. Ra'al l'fanavechan mi'chiburei, and he saw one of my svarim. Kamadumani shalas shuvus Yabi Omer. Rav Avadia says, I don't remember so clearly from the dream. I think it was Yabi Omer that Rav Yosef Chaim saw on the table. And again, this is all in his dream. So he started to read some of my tshuvas, one here, one there. And when he finished reading my tshuvas, Amar Tov Ma'od, he said, good job, this is fantastic. And he asked me, are you still going to speak publicly and give musar publicly and let everyone know your opinions like you've always done? Anisi v'amarti, so I said to him, ki adayin ani mamshich gam b'yam melu lofiyah b'rab m'shirei Torah b'droshus kasher chanani Hashem. I'm giving a lot of public shirim, I'm a public figure. Ubedar klal ani mafiyah b'yachad im amiti ha-rav ha-gadol Rabbi Yudat Tzedaka shlita, and I have help from my good friend Rabbi Yudat Tzedaka. Ach hisonanti l'fanav she'dover zeh mafriya li. But he says, I complain to the Ben Ish Chai that this, it bothers me. B'ham shechachanas ha-richas chibur l'hotim l'or, because I really want to be able to prepare my svarim. Shmoni notra es hakramim karmi shali lo natarti. He says, I'm so busy with other people's vineyards, I didn't take care of my own vineyard. Ana dodi va'amarli. So my beloved said to me, meaning Ben Ish Chai said to me, b'sevir panim yafos, with the most pleasant look on his face, tov asher techos b'zeh v'gam izeh al tanach yadecha. You're talented enough, Rav Avadia, you should be able to do both. You should be able to continue your public persona, and you should be able to continue to spread your Torah. Ki yesh nachas ruach ma'od lefnei Hashem yisparach b'zikoy ha-rabim k'sheshom divrei Torah musar v'chozrim b'tshuva. And again, the emphasis on the Balei Tshuva. He says that if my Torah and my musar that I'm able to speak publicly gets people to tshuva, so he says the Ben Ish Chai told me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of nachas ruach from that. Notice how he fuses this with his politics. Now he says, I'm involved in all this politics and it's pulling me away, but this dream of the Ben Ish Chai telling me to give Torah and Musar, he views it as all one thing, meaning all the politics is to that end, to be able to set up Sephardic institutions of Torah. V'kol echot shechozer b'tshuva hu olam male, and anyone that you could be chozer b'tshuva is an olam male, is a whole world. V'ikatzvi hine chalom, he said, I woke up and that was my dream, that was the end of my dream. So whenever someone gives a shiur on dreams, someone says, what do you know about dreams? I always tell them, Rav Asher Weiss has a nice piece of Minchas Asher about dreams. There's a lot of famous Torah about dreams, but no one knows this Mar Malkum. I always say, Hakdama to Taras HaBayis Chilek Beis. I guarantee you no one will know that one. There's a phenomenal dream in there. So that's Rav Avadia's dream. So he says, V'ne'emes nachona davar kikiyot v'zeh amal ha'malach ha'magid l'mrana Beit Yosef. He says, you know, I'm not the first great Sephardi to have dreams. The Beit Yosef had dreams where he would learn with the Malach. He would have, he wrote a whole sefer of his chavrusa with the Malach in the Magen Meisharim. He says, and the Malach told him, V'al tetzar shatam tapel bin yani tzibra v'aydei kachat ha'mispat l'me'esek ha'torah. The Malach told the Beit Yosef also, don't be upset that you're involved in the Esek ha'tzibra and pulls you away from Torah. You should do both. You know, there's a concept that Chazal have, that a person dreams, and psychology also, that a person dreams what he thinks about during the day. Rav Avadia was struggling with this issue. He knew what the Malach told the Beit Yosef, and he knows that the Ben Ish Chai is the authority for Sephardim. It's not so shocking that he has a dream that the Ben Ish Chai tells him exactly what the Malach told the Beit Yosef on exactly the issue that he was struggling with. Rav Avadia thought that this was a siman min ha-shamayim. That's why he was mamshich both in the world of politics and in the world of Torah. But it's important to note, whatever you think about Rav Avadia's role in the world of politics as a Talmud Chacham and as a posek adar, as a posek for as a critical figure in Sephardic Pesach Halacha, he's second to none, and we can't. No matter what you think about his politics, someone once asked Rav Shechter and Shir, if you think Rav Avadia's politics are wrong, should you still follow his Piskei Halacha, or does it show just a fundamental, you know, lack of judgment or whatever? He said, no, it's Piskei Halacha, it's Piskei Halacha. You thought you should follow his Piskei Halacha. You know, to the extent that you would follow any posek's Piskei Halacha, he doesn't necessarily think there's a posek that you always have to follow, a particular posek's Piskei Halacha. But to the extent, his Piskei Halacha should be respected for what they are, for the greatness that is evident in them. Okay.